student debt is crushing families all across the United States, and it's a hot topic in the 2020 presidential race. But high student debt isn't a foregone conclusion. Families and students can mitigate their risk, and that's what we're going to talk about with Steve McCullough from Iowa Student Loan. Now, it's not a bank, but a nonprofit that will help students and families better understand what they need to borrow and then help them. That story is coming up next. Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Oasis, a paychecks company. Your goal is to grow your business, and Oasis has the same goal by being there to help you handle your HR issues. From payroll to compliance, you focus on your business and let Oasis become a partner. Learn more at OasisAdvantage.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot Trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at TERO.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for clicking through again today. We have a return visitor to the News Hour today. His name is Steve McCullough. Steve is the president and CEO of something called the Iowa Student Loan, and it's a nonprofit organization who was with us a couple of years ago, I think it was, and now student loans are a big conversation piece, especially in the public policy arena, as we've witnessed over the past couple of days when the debates have been held. First in Miami and then in Detroit. And so we're going to spend a little time about the reality of student loans and, more importantly, what Iowa Student Loan is all about. Steve, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to see you again, my friend.
Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful to be with you.
You're a tad bit injured. I see this is a ragbri injury.
Yeah, I'm one of the unfortunate people that had an accident on ragbri, but I'm fine. Just a little. My pride is most bruised of anything.
The bike okay?
The bike was fine.
Okay, good. That's always the first question.
That's
you see,
right.
Because I bicycle as well as my bride, and you know when you're riding around in machines like that that are not inexpensive. You always wonder a little bit.
That's right. And luckily, all I had to do was kind of straighten out the handlebars again. I was able to finish the ride.
There you go. All right. Did you do all?
No, I actually only ended up doing one day. Ah. I was supposed to do 2 days, but I was a little bit sore after the crash.
You think maybe?
I just let my brothers go in my stead.
What got you?
Well, the road between Norwalk in Indianola was really rough. There were lots of cracks and bumps, and there was a hole that my front tire went into, and the bike stopped, and I didn't.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the whole story.
Yep. That'll happen. Well, good for you, though, for going. You and 20-some thousand of your favorite friends, of course. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about what Iowa Student Loan is, if people don't know.
So Iowa Student Loan is a private nonprofit company. We're unusual in that we have the board of directors appointed by the governor of the state of Iowa. But we're not a state agency or state authority. We're a private company. We do have some grants of authority from the state to run its supplemental private student loan program for people who can't get enough money from the federal loan programs. And unfortunately, there's quite a few of those people these days. It puts us in a position to be working with lots of Iowa families. And as a nonprofit, we try and help them figure out how to borrow less for college and how to create good outcomes from college. When you hear about the student loan crisis, it's not a financial crisis like we saw in 2009 by any means. If you remember, in the mortgage crisis, the fix was the government ended up buying a lot of mortgages and mortgage-backed securities. Well, in this case, 90% of all student loans are already made and owned by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So they already own all of this debt. So the fix to the 2009 financial crisis has pretty much already occurred. It's inherent in the way student loans are made these days. There's still about 10% of the student loans that are made by organizations like ours. And what you find is, however, that for certain individuals, student loans are a real crisis because they've borrowed much more than they can afford to repay based on the outcome that they received after they graduated from college or didn't graduate from college, as the case may be. So we talk to hundreds of people every day, and we hear their stories, and we hear their regrets. And almost every time that we hear somebody that's in real trouble, it's one or more of three causes. Either they attended a college that didn't match with their family's ability to pay, Or they didn't have enough resources to pay for it. They hadn't saved enough money. They weren't able to get enough scholarships or grants. And the other problem is a bad outcome. They didn't finish, or they finished, but they weren't able to get a college-level, high-paying job.
And there's the rub. I mean, if you end up, I mean, those two things are drastic enough. If you borrow more than what you can afford, and if you get out of school and you're not in a position to get a higher paying job, you're stuck with the student debt for years. It can be years.
The general rule of thumb is people shouldn't borrow any more for college than their expected starting salary. So the problem with that is if you've borrowed expecting that you're going to make the salary of, say, an engineer, but then something happens and you aren't able to graduate, you're not going to be able to get that engineering job.
Right.
But you'll have borrowed like you were going to get it.
All right. So let's put this in real context. Let's say that I wish to become a pipe fitter or an electrician or a welder. I'm going to go to community college.
Right.
And I figure that my salary upon graduation from that trade school is going to be roughly $70,000.
Right.
So you're saying do not, under any circumstances, borrow any more than that.
That's correct. And what I'll tell you is community college, this equation works all the time.
Sure, it
because
does.
Because it's so inexpensive. And for the person in the trades that you're talking about...
Well, there's all kinds of extra help there,
they're
too.
They're getting paid.
Yeah.
While they're doing their apprenticeships. So what happens when people go to college is it's kind of a double whammy because not only are they paying money for college, but they're also not getting paid to work at the job that they're going to have after college.
Right.
So they have that loss of income during their college years, and they have the amount of money they're putting out the door to pay for it. The nice thing about the apprenticeships is you get paid good money as you're getting trained for that job. So you don't have that lack of income that you would normally see people that are going to a four-year college.
And we're finally figuring that out. You know, for decades, everybody said, oh, you got to go to a four-year school. You got to go to a four-year school. You got to get a degree in social work or graphic design or whatever it happens to be. And at the end of the day, we simply haven't had enough individuals in the trades. And now, on day one, oftentimes, getting out of those trade schools, those people are making more than the folks that have gone to a four-year school.
You see people that are graduating from four-year colleges that don't have good outcomes that then go into the trades.
Yeah, right. I've seen that.
So one of the things that we see as a real issue is that we have this assumption that everyone should go pursue a four-year college degree because that's what everybody else is doing. It's the thing to do. Everybody else does it. I'm going to follow the crowd. Parents have that expectation for their kids that they're going to do the same thing their neighbors are going to do. But particularly if it's a young individual that has no idea what they're going to do with that college education, that can be very dangerous. First of all, it might not be the right choice for them. And they don't know because they really haven't planned for that outcome after college. So the other thing that has to happen is there needs to be some rationalization here. We need to do better career planning with our young people. So when they graduate from high school, they have some idea of what their first career is going to be, and not their only career, but their first career, so that they can get their feet underneath them, become financially independent, and be able to start their life on their own. They may decide, on average now, people have 7 different jobs over their lifetime. So one of the things that we have to coach people to understand is that your career is a journey, and you're just taking the first step, and it's not your last step. And for some students, going into the trades to start may be the very best decision, and a much better decision than pursuing a four-year college degree and having a bad outcome.
His name is Steve McCullough, ladies and gentlemen. He is with Iowa Student Loan. I want to ask a question about graduating seniors out of high schools. Would it be wise if somebody isn't rock solid on whatever it is that they want to do or think that they want to do, is it sometimes in your experience maybe better to take a year off and figure that out? Or does that lessen the opportunity that you might enter a college degree program?
It really does not hurt you now to take a gap year. Colleges are used to that. They account for it. You can get your acceptance and defer your acceptance to college. and do something very constructive that might also help you figure out what you want to do for your first career, so you have better career goals when you get started. In other cases, by their own admission, graduating seniors will tell you they're just not ready. They don't feel like they're mature enough. They're not ready to really buckle down and study hard. And if you've got a young person that's in that situation, don't send them.
Yeah.
Because having someone go to college and have a bad outcome harms them. It's harmful to them.
For a long time.
For a long time. Yeah. So better to wait until they're ready and then take a good hard run at it and be successful.
I want to dial it back just a bit, Steve McCullough, and talk a little bit about what we've heard from Miami and also from Detroit on the political thing. And we don't do politics on the Business News Hour for a whole front of reasons, because everybody else seems to do that. We like to stick on business and financial security. But what I find is interesting is that there's this call about just doing away with all student debt. One of the, and you made mention of this earlier, only 10% of students' debts are controlled by private insurance or private companies such as yourself or nonprofits such as yourself. 90% come from the federal government, and yet Congress is the one that sets those interest rates, mm-hmm. right? And those interest rates are significantly higher than many times that you can borrow for a house or a car. Is that accurate?
Well, right now, the rates for student borrowing, what students can borrow at, are in the mid-5%. So they're not outrageous. On the other hand, the program for parents to borrow on behalf of their students through the federal government is a high rate. It's 7.08%, and there's a huge upfront fee, 4.26%. That is a high rate of interest compared to market. It's higher than any loan that we make at Iowa Student Loan. So if there are parents out there that haven't saved enough money or don't have enough money to pay for college, but they want to help their student pay for college, they should give us a call first before they borrow from the federal government on the Federal Direct Plus loan. Because honestly, as long as they can get approved, they can get a better deal in terms of interest rates. The other thing that just happened is there was a study released just last week by a company called LendEDU, which is a site you can go to online where you can apply for multiple loans. And they were tracking what the biggest private student loan lenders were giving out for interest rates. Those big lenders, the five largest lenders, the average fixed rate that they were giving out was 10%.
Oh, my gosh.
That compares to borrowers could get 6.22% from Iowa Student Loan. So one of the very most important things I need to tell your listeners is that the interest rate on your student loan matters. If you look at that 10% versus our 6% differential, those individuals would end up on a $10,000 loan. They'll pay $6,000 additional on their loans over the loan's life. So it really does add up and it really matters. So if there's a parent out there that needs to borrow on behalf of their students to pay for college, we really hope they'll give us a call first, because we really think we can take better care of them than the federal government or the big lenders.
Steve McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, he is with Iowa Student Loans. Of course, we will have links to all of this up on the radio blog. Well, Steve, what about pre-qualifications? Are there fees to come through Iowa Student Loan? What are the backstory or the back issues that somebody might be concerned about?
Well, there are no fees to apply for our loans, and you're able to prepay at any time without penalty. So if your young person is highly successful and making really good money out of college, they can prepay the loan and pay it down. And we encourage them to do that. The idea that people should pay the loan off as slowly as possible is really bad advice.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But yet that's what we see. And we see people prescribing solutions to the student loan crisis, I put that in air quotes, by saying, well, let's just lower the payment amounts down so they don't have to pay very much on a monthly basis. What you find is very frustrated people who say, I've been making all these payments, but my loan balance actually went up. How does that happen?
Because less goes to the principal, right?
That's right. Yeah. Every payment you make first satisfies interest on your loans and then pays principal down. Well, if the payment you're making doesn't cover all the interest, that interest gets added to your loan. That's one of the evils of making too low of payments on your loans on a monthly basis. It may feel good because it's not as much cash that comes out of your bank account, but it's not going to feel good when you look at your balance and see that the balance in your loan's actually going
up. And you've got 4 or 5, 6, 10 more years to pay.
Right.
Yeah. I get this sense that Iowa Student Loan is more than a lending institution, that you're really here to be assistive in counseling at the same time. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. As a matter of fact, we have tools on our website available for anyone to use. And these tools help people understand what they're going to pay for the entire 4 years of their college. They help them understand how much people earn based on different majors in college and how much they can afford to borrow based on how much they're projected to earn after college. And then finally, we give lots of advice on ways to lower the amount that you're spending so that you can borrow less money. What people don't understand is only about half of the total cost that's estimated for college is tuition. The rest is living expenses.
Right.
And that's discretionary. You can decide how much you're going to spend on that. You can decide how nice of an apartment, how many roommates, how much you're going to spend on food, how much you're going to spend on your other living expenses. If you're willing to live like a poor college student and live very frugally and mooch off of your parents and everybody else you can find, then you can live pretty frugally and you don't have to spend as much or borrow as much for college. The other thing, you'll hear a lot of students say, well, I want to concentrate on my studies, so I'm not going to work while I'm in college. Well, that sounds good, but I can tell you from my experience with my own kids.
And probably your own.
Other things tend to take up that extra time besides studying. They just do. Studies actually show that people that work 20 hours or less a week while they're in college get better grades than people that don't work because they're more efficient at managing
their
time.
Well, they're focused, for crying out loud.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah, we've all been there, Steve. I mean, we know if your hands are idle, you will fill them with something.
And, right.
And sometimes it's not to the best of intentions.
So there are other things that families need to be considering before they start college that can really cut down on the costs. The thing that a lot of people don't realize is right now in Iowa, at every high school, you can take concurrent courses where you get community college credit that will transfer to four-year universities, and you get to do that for free. And we have some students now that are graduating from high school with two-year community college degrees that they got for free. They only have to go 2 more years to get a bachelor's degree. So half of their college is being paid for by the community college credits they're earning while they're in high school.
Yeah.
And this is, it's free, it's there, people need to take advantage of it. It's the single best way to cut down on college costs. The second best way is to graduate on time. Mm. For every extra year you spend in college, it's an extra year paying for. So if you're going to a four-year school but you take 5 years, you're going to pay 20% more than the person that graduated in 4 years. And that adds up very quickly. So you have to make sure you're taking the right amount of hours. You have to make sure that you don't have to retake classes. If at all possible, you try not to switch majors 2 or 3 times. And what you'll do is you'll be able to graduate on a schedule, which lets you get through in 4 years or 2 years at a community college. Other things, parents need to save whatever they can. You know, a lot of folks are saying, well, I can't save enough to pay for the whole thing, so I'm not going to try.
Right, but well, just a little bit.
Just whatever you can.
Right.
Get started. We have wonderful 529 plans in our state that people can invest in and get a state tax deduction for the amount that they deposit. So they're earning extra amounts just through the state tax deduction. And whatever you can save, and you know, have it come straight out of your bank account so you never notice. And it starts to add up over time. And it can make a huge difference. So the last thing I'll say is, if you do have to borrow, borrow at the best interest rate, because borrowing at a lower interest rate is going to make that loan less costly and ultimately make your payment, total payment amount, lower. And that's why it's important to look at nonprofits like Iowa Student Loan that are offering lower rates.
Steve McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the crisis in student loans, and clearly there are issues out there, and perhaps maybe being a smarter consumer might might dilute some of those issues down the way. Steve, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it too, Michael.
Once again, that was Steve McCullough from Iowa Student Loan. Some sound advice for parents and students to avoid the trap of high student debt. We will have links to Iowa Student Loan up on our radio blog. Well, that concludes another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Steve McCullough, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.